Amen. Miriam Moon and Bill King. That's a lot of musical talent right there, isn't it? That was great. Thank y'all so much. We get them a bus, let them travel and perform. Thank you so much. We're blessed as a church to have so much musical talent and have a great music ministry. All right, good to be back on back here on Wednesday night for a Wednesday night service in the new year. And I'm going to ask that we get right to it. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, we're going to read and look at verse 1 through 11, a story I'm sure you're familiar with. And of course, book of Acts, story of the church, the early church. And this is certainly in the early days of the church. Very interesting things happening in the church here in the first few chapters. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which was called Solomon's, greatly amazed. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for everyone here, Lord. And I pray you'll give me the words to say. Speak through me, Lord, and thank you for your word. Give us insight into your word and help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Norman Geisler and Frank Turek published a book in 2004. The title of the book, "I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist." In this book, they told a story about a man named Ron Nash. Ron Nash was a writer, a preacher, a seminary professor. I learned in preparation for this that he actually was a professor at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in the late 90s and early 2000s. But I want to read an excerpt from this book regarding this story that they told about Ron Nash. Ron Nash was teaching a class of Russian atheists. And the book says this, quote, "Ron Nash spoke to a group of Russian scientists who had been taught all their lives that there is no such thing as miracles. He put two cardboard boxes in front of them. The first box was closed. Ron said, 'This is the way you see the world. The box represents the material, physical world, and you believe that it is closed to any intervention from God. The second box was open.' He said, 'This represents the Christian view. We also believe in the material world, but we believe that this world is not closed and God can intervene. We often hear that phrase, divine intervention. It is a term that means different things to different people. Excuse me. I'm sure if we were to write down our own explanation of divine intervention, we would all probably write something different and explain it in several different ways. A basic definition of divine intervention is this, and this is a secular definition. It says, an event that occurs when God becomes actively involved in changing some situation in human affairs. An event that occurs when God becomes actively involved in changing some situation in human affairs. I also went to the dictionary and looked up the word intervention or intervene. The definition for that word is to come between so as to prevent or alter a result or course of events. Now listen, let's say this, establish this, that as Christians, we know and believe that God is in complete control of the whole universe. He has all authority over all things. God is all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful. He's an ever-present, sovereign God. The Bible says in Psalm 121 that he never slumbers or sleeps. But as Christians, as Ron Nash says, we believe that the world is an open box and God does become actively involved. God does become directly involved to change or alter some situations. This intervention by God can take many forms and can happen in different ways. Sometimes God can simply give guidance and direction. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 16, we see where Paul, on his missionary journeys, as he's traveling around with his missionary companions, we read where they plan to go to one destination or to go in one direction, but God changed the course. God changed their direction. The Bible says he actually prevented them from going to a certain place. Divine intervention. But sometimes divine intervention can come in the form of a miracle. In the form of a miracle. I was reading articles and information about this passage and other passages about healing in the Bible. And one writer called this miracle a flashy miracle. Just something very unique and different. So we see here this miracle of this healing of this paralyzed man here in Acts chapter 3. We find here in Scripture, it tells us that this man was paralyzed since birth. We see that his friends or family carried him every day to the gate of the temple and would lay him there at the gate, and he would beg day in and day out. He would beg for money from the people going in and out. Peter and John walk by and this man gets healed, a miracle. Now understand that this, again, this is during the days of the early church. If you look over at Acts chapter 5, verse 12, it says this, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. So during the days of the early church, these early church leaders, these apostles, these men of God who had been followers of Jesus, were given authority by Jesus to perform these signs and wonders. So these miracles, if you will, these signs and wonders that we read about in the book of Acts, they were not random. They were done for a certain reason or certain purpose. First of all, we see here in Scripture that these miracles, these signs and wonders referred to here, were done to authenticate who the apostles were. There are many false teachers near at this time, and so the signs and wonders were done by these apostles to authenticate their authority, to authenticate who they were as followers of Jesus and ambassadors of Jesus and representatives of Jesus. And so not only were these signs and wonders done during the times of the early church to authenticate who the apostles were, but also to substantiate this new religion called Christianity. As we read here in the first part, first chapters of the book of Acts, Christianity is brand new. So to substantiate and bring confirmation to this new religion called Christianity, these men performed these signs and wonders. And also, not only was this signs and wonders to authenticate who the apostles were and their authority to substantiate this new religion called Christianity, but also to differentiate Christianity from the pagan religions of their day. There were thousands of pagan gods that people worshiped at this time. But through signs and wonders, through miracles, they were able to separate out, to make Christianity different from those gods of wood and steel. Amen? So those are the reasons for these signs and wonders. But look at what Peter says in Acts chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. After this miracle is performed, a crowd gathers, and notice what Peter says in Acts 3, verse 12 and 13. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this or look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers," look at this, "glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Jesus." Peter takes this opportunity to say, hey, we didn't do this. Don't look at us. He used this miracle to point to Jesus. God healed this man in order to glorify Jesus. Also, we need to remember, we certainly know that sometimes God doesn't heal. We see Paul writes about the thorn in the flesh, and it says that he prayed to God several times to remove that thorn in the flesh. He doesn't tell us specifically what that thorn in the flesh is, but just that he had prayed for it to be removed, and he said that God never removed it. Now, there are many Bible scholars, maybe most Bible scholars and commentators, say that that thorn in the flesh was a physical affliction of some sort, and God never removed it or healed Paul from that. And we also understand from Scripture that sickness is not punishment. In John chapter 9, verse 1 through 3, Jesus and his disciples were walking together, and they walked by a blind man, and disciples asked Jesus, is this man's blindness because of his sin or his parents? And Jesus said, this sickness or this blindness is not the result of anyone's sin. It's not because of sin. So listen, in today's world, God can heal, but he doesn't always heal. Sickness is not a form of punishment, but if he does or doesn't heal, it is always for the glory of God. It is always for the glory of God. And we'll talk about more about that in just a moment in the body of the in sermon. But listen, this story is not just about healing. There is a deeper meaning to this story. So let's go now and jump right in. The title of our lesson tonight, From Lame to Leaping. From Lame to Leaping. Notice, first of all, notice his focus directed. His focus directed. Look at verse 3 and 4 now here in Acts chapter 3. He says, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So, Jesus had completed his earthly ministry. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. Then following that, the Holy Spirit descended from heaven, came to earth. The church was formed and Christianity began. Now, the Jews had a practice of going to the temple 3 times every day to pray. And the Christians, during the days of the early church, would continue to follow that schedule of prayer. So, at 3 p.m. on this day, Peter and John are walking into the temple, and they see this paralyzed man there at the entrance begging for money. Notice what Peter says here. They're walking in, they observe this paralyzed man begging for money, and Peter is very direct. Look at us. Look at us. Why would Peter be so direct and so demanding to this paralyzed man? Well, we have to picture what is actually going on here and think about this scene here. This man was laid at the gate, the entrance of the temple. It's called the Beautiful Gate. It's one of the main entrances, most popular, most used entrances to the temple. And so he was laying there every day begging for money. And so you've got hundreds of people going into that entrance of the temple 3 times a day and then coming out. So many people going in. And so you can imagine him with his cup or his bowl or some type of container trying to get the attention of every person going into that temple gate. Begging for money, trying to get the attention of every person that goes by, not wanting to miss anybody going in. But Peter and John come by and they say, look at us. In order for this man to receive this miracle, he had to redirect his focus. You see, I'm so sorry. One of the main weapons of the devil is distraction. I think his second weapon is coughing while you're preaching. But one of the main weapons of the devil is distraction. That is one of his main strategies. He wants to distract us and cause us to focus on the wrong things. I was thinking about back in 1999, the Atlanta Falcons played in the Super Bowl. It was the conclusion of the 1998 season in the fall. They made it to the Super Bowl, played the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 33 was held in Miami, Florida. I have this vivid memory that during that week leading up to the Super Bowl, of course, they were doing all these news reports and sports stories about the teams in the Super Bowl. I distinctly remember to this day all those reports during the week about the Atlanta Falcons. The news reports were showing the Falcons players down on the beach in Miami. They were playing and having fun and just doing all kind of things there on the beach. Some of them were riding jet skis out into the out in the water of the ocean there. And I don't mean they were just, you know, riding them just very slowly and easy. They were jumping waves and spinning the jet ski around, you know, and just all kind of activity like that out in the water. I remember seeing film reports about the players at night going out to do to party. It showed them renting vehicles, very large, expensive, fancy vehicles. Showed the players renting these vehicles and going out at night in these vehicles. One player was actually arrested the night before the game and spent the night in jail the night before the game. Now, I remember they had news reports about the Denver Broncos. Clearly, I remember to this day, they were out at a football field, local football field in the Miami area, had their sweatpants on, their sweatshirts on, and having these very focused, organized practices. So come game day, it was ugly for the Atlanta Falcons, to say the least. They got beat 34-19. Listen, the Falcons players were distracted by the fun and sun of Miami. As Christians, we cannot let ourselves get distracted by the ways of the world and the schemes of Satan. Amen? We've got to make sure we stay focused on the things of God. The Bible says, Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That phrase, looking unto, comes from one Greek word that means to fix our gaze. Basically means to stare at one thing. Listen, 2023 is a brand new year. Let's redirect our focus on Jesus. Let's make sure we fix our gaze on Him and not let ourselves get distracted. So we see here, not only do we see focus directed, we also see faith displayed. Faith displayed. Look at verse 8. So he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. As I said a moment ago, this story is a miracle, yes, a miracle with a message. The main emphasis here in Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4 is not Peter and John. The emphasis is not the paralyzed beggar. The emphasis here in this story in chapter 3 and 4 is Jesus. The lame man is healed, yes, but notice what Peter said. I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Peter's going into the temple. He said, look, I don't have any money. I don't have any cash. I'm all out of Chick-fil-A cards, brother. I don't have anything, but what I do have, I've got a Savior named Jesus inside of me, and in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He gave him something that all the money in the world cannot buy. Amen? Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning, or this evening. Listen, this man put his faith in Jesus instead of a few pennies in his cup, and it changed his life. Listen, when we put our faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, that is our saving faith. And praise the Lord for that moment of salvation. But we've got to live by faith every day. That's our sustaining faith. That's what keeps us going in the difficult times. That's what gives us hope, living by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. Notice the rest of that verse. For he that comes to God must believe. He's got to have faith that he is, and he's got to have faith that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Listen, let's live with an active, strong daily faith, not some mamby-pamby, sissified, passive faith. A faith that seeks God. A faith that believes God for big things. Let's have a faith that knowing that God promises he is a rewarder of those that faithfully seek him. Thomas Carlyle, writer and philosopher in the 1800s, said this: a person lives by believing something, not by debating and arguing about many things. What did Paul say? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, but looking forward to those things which are ahead. 2022 is gone. Forget about it. But we've got a whole brand new year, 2023, in front of us. Let's live every day with faith. Put our faith in one thing and trust in him to do big things. So we see here not only his focus directed, his faith displayed. And number three, notice Peter's forceful declaration. Notice verse 11. It says, now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. This man laid at what was known as the beautiful gate of the temple. He gets healed, jumps up. The three of them go into the temple. They follow this, hallway, this walkway around the edge of the temple, down to this porch, the grand entrance to the temple, if you will. And this miracle brought together a crowd of people there at the porch. And Peter has the chance to preach his second sermon. And at the end of his sermon, chapter 4, verse 4, says that 5,000 men were saved. And no doubt, probably there were women and children there as well. You see, this story does have deeper meaning, a message for you and I today. This paralyzed man represents how we are born into this world as sinners and crippled by sin. This man couldn't walk. He couldn't work. And because of the Old Testament law, he was not permitted to go into the temple to worship. Couldn't walk, couldn't work, couldn't worship. We are born into this world as sinners, unable to walk with God. Because of our sinful condition, we're unable to work for God. Because of our sinful condition, we're separated from God and unable to worship God. But when we got saved, it was a miracle. Amen? Y'all ain't saved, are you? This man's healing is represents our sin healing. It represents what God has done for us when we got saved. Now, because of our salvation, because of our faith in Jesus, now we can walk with God. Now we can work for God and we can worship God. You remember? Listen, understand this. All these healings and miracles you see in the Bible have a relevant meaning to our salvation. Remember Jesus, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, Jesus said this, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Our sin sickness, somebody help me, our sin sickness is not unto death. Why? Because of the miracle of salvation, we have victory over death. Jesus let Lazarus die. They buried him. And Jesus went to the location, moved the stone, and Lazarus comes out of the grave. You and I one day are going to come out of the grave because of the miracle of Jesus when he saved us. We read about the blind man. I mentioned that a moment ago. We read about the blind man. You and I were born to this world as sinners, spiritually blind. Somebody help me. I was blind, but now I see. Amen? Jesus healed the blind man, restored sight. You and I, our spiritual sight was restored at that moment of salvation. We all, if we have been saved, have had our miracle. A miracle of salvation. So in 2023, let's focus on God, believing by faith that God will do big things, praising God and glorifying God in all that we do. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you how we can find encouragement and inspiration in your word. Thank you how these stories of healing represent what you have done for us. God, thank you that we were born in this world as sinners, paralyzed by sin, but you've healed us. You've restored us. God, you've given us spiritual sight, healed us from spiritual blindness. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, just like one day we're going to be raised from the grave, raised from the dead. God, help us to stay focused on you. Help us to not let ourselves be distracted in our walk with you. Help us to live by faith and believe you for the big things. We pray that 2023 be a year of a fresh touch and revival in each of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.